you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Nolan Cruz, what's your favorite fruit?
Pineapple.
You know, I'm offended, just to be honest with you. Really offended by it. Yeah. I'm going to come for you. I think you should be canceled. I'm coming for everything you built.
Yeah.
I am disgusted, Danny.
Afternoons on The Score.
Some people like Chris Emma.
Cut out the honey buns, Emma.
Out of context! Never say that.
You didn't. Yeah, oh God, that's perfect.
Chris Emma.
Your guy, Tone Issues.
Right there.
You were talking about Jervon Dexter, and you were saying that he cut out the honey buns.
Yeah.
But at the time, boy, it sounded a lot like chiding a teammate for the suggestion.
I would not do that to that teammate. I might do that to a different teammate. Like, you know.
Which one specifically?
Yeah.
One of you three. Like a close teammate. Like not that I am not close with Chris Emma.
Sure, no, it would go over well if you did that to one of us.
Saying that it would go over that well.
Yeah, so you would insult us and then insult Chris Emma by saying you guys are not close.
I guess so. Not as close as the three of us.
So insult two people as opposed to just the one and admit you were talking to Chris.
Chris is my special skill.
Chris Emma joins us. Chris, what's your favorite insult from Danny Parkins? Is it when he told you to cut out the honey buns or when he said that you guys aren't close?
Man, are we going my list of favorite score teammates here or what? Let's get right into it. I
how do you
it was
feel about Speeds' impression of you?
I love it. You know, our guy Grody makes me aware of it. I'm able to hear it. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Good.
So, Speeds, keep it rolling.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Let's not make me out to be the bad guy. I'll start lashing out in every direction.
Oh, just this
there
one.
There we go.
Just this one.
All right,
Emma. Well, welcome in. You're filling in for Grody, and you do a great job. Helping us out
work.
With this stuff.
It's very thorough. Before we get to any of the sound, how did Caleb Williams do today?
That's the headline.
That is the headline. Yeah, it was a mixed bag day, but a strong finish. Caleb Williams was picked off in a rough pass really over the middle by Jaquan Brisker, who seemed to be reading it out. Tight throw into coverage. It's a mistake. It's something he's going to go back on film and wish he had back. But, man, did he finish strong. They ran a two-minute drill with a minute 20 left. You're starting at your own 40-yard line. He took him down in three plays. He had a strike to Keenan Allen off to the right side. Then came a pass to DeAndre Swift, who nearly took it the distance before the play was blown dead, I think just to keep the drive alive. Then came the third play, Caleb Williams to Romo Dunze, a beautiful throw down the left side, split a couple defenders for a touchdown. Three plays, 60 yards, touchdown Bears.
So, and there was more to Odunze, right? They continue to hook up after doing so over the weekend as well.
They did. They've been in sync. There was a play actually a few moments later, which I believe was a two-point conversion kind of setup. And it was Romo Odunze from Caleb Williams, a strike to the right side. It was an even better throw. It was one kind of over defenders to the back corner. Back shoulder kind of throw. Caleb Williams led him in stride. Their connection has been clear throughout camp. They put in the work really before they both even got drafted together, as we know. Obviously, ever since then, working away from Hallis Hall, working late points in the Walter Payton Center, and now throughout the course of training camp, really getting that chemistry established. So it is good to see. We've heard a lot of strong reports about Romo Odunze, his route running ability, what he's been able to do to get to this point. And clearly, Caleb trusts him with a bunch of very good receivers to his disposal. Caleb Williams trusts Romo Odunze to make plays, and that's what they've done.
I mean, the dream is, yeah, you'd love to have a connection like that with a number one, but he's got three, you know, possible number ones. The dream is, in my mind anyway, is to be egalitarian about it. Just like, who's open? All right, there I go. And just trust all of them. That's ideal.
Without a doubt, yeah, I think Keenan Allen's going to be that guy to a large extent. You know, they have such a strong chemistry already. Keenan Allen's route running is really impressive. You just notice when you're out there. He had a route today in like a red zone one-on-one drill where he separated and made a quick route. And one of my guys, I'll give him a shout-out, Danny Marquino, with the Bears' new PR hires, who was with the Chargers before, goes, Chris, watch this. Like, he's seen that for several years down in L.A. with what Keenan Allen could do running a route. And it was a really impressive play where he kind of broke away from the defender, just found a little soft spot. Caleb hit him in stride. There wasn't a hesitation or that's where he's going. It was the ability to be a tactician with your routes and to improvise to get away from a defender. And clearly he and Caleb Williams are in sync there.
So let's get to some of the audio today. The news clearly is that the plans have been revealed for who will and will not play on Thursday against the Texans in Canton.
Yeah, Matt Eberflus was waiting to this point. I think they had a personnel meeting last night to really determine not only who would play on Thursday night, but what the practice plan would be today and tomorrow. Matt Eberflus jumped to the podium after practice and shared the news. Here's Matt Eberflus.
So big news for today. Starters are not playing in the Hall of Fame game. We feel really good where they are right now in terms of the pads practices we had. We've had three so far and then have another one tomorrow. And have a lot of good work, ones-on-ones, twos-on-twos, and a lot of good situations. You know, we got a head start there because we are in the Hall of Fame game, which I think is very fortunate for us this year to be able to add those reps, you know, time on task, as we say, to our football team. So we're super excited about that. And it's a great opportunity, really, for, you know, the guys, the role players that we're going to have on our team and the guys that are fringe roster players. And, you know, those guys are going to be looked at by not only us, but, of course, the whole league. So I think that's a really good opportunity for those guys.
You guys think in terms of value for Caleb's time and time on task that they value the practices more than that particular game at
yes,
this point?
Yes. I mean, absolutely. You get extra practices and to report early for the Hall of Fame game because you play an extra preseason game. But that doesn't mean that these guys want their starters and their valuable players to be playing more meaningless football.
But they'll happily accept the value of the extra practices.
Correct. So it's just common practice. It's just how every team does. And maybe you could argue that it's groupthink. Like if you think that that's a bad idea, but that's how the best organizations that end up in the Hall of Fame game. That's how everybody does it, Emma.
Yeah, and I think the context to add to that as well is they had a long, demanding practice today. It was 2+ hours. It was really hot out there today, one of those demanding days. Full pads after a build-up yesterday in the Walter Payton Center. It was really good full reps for Caleb Williams and the ones. And like you said, there was some good, there was some bad, but there was a lot to take away from this. Now, tomorrow, they're going to split up, almost like a split squad spring training type practice where the ones are going to be in a separate field away from everybody playing in Thursday's game. They're going to have their own practice, which is really kind of the build up in the substitute for playing on Thursday night instead. Caleb Williams is going to get a lot of reps through that as well. But to your point, guys, I agree. I don't think Matt Eberflus sees great value in the preseason games compared to the value of what you're able to create in practice and structure. And so much of these practices led by Eberflus are really situationally based. They run so many different scenarios kind of on the fly and really test these guys out through their own structure, where I think they see that a lot more valuable than the preseason reps.
So how does Caleb feel about the whole thing and where he's at?
Yeah, he said yesterday there's pros and cons. It was clear he wants to play. He wants to be out there. He's going to get an opportunity. Eberflus declined to say whether they have a plan really in place for that second game in Buffalo. I think what's important for Caleb Williams, honestly, is going through just an NFL game day. So understanding your pregame routine, what your teammates are doing, what's demanded of you pregame as a starter, and then the simple things, going through warm-ups, breaking the huddle in an NFL stadium, knowing where the play clock is, just small procedural things that make a big difference once you get to week one. And I think they're going to get some Caleb Williams action later in the preseason. He certainly seems excited for it, but these are small steps compared to what they're doing here in practice.
I would agree with that. He's really made some big strides here. I mean, we're talking about a massive amount of reps in the first 8 or 9 practices that we've had because we have it set up for the walkthroughs prior to practice, as you saw today, and then also in the evening we get a massive amount. Good on the show team and different looks and going through the operation of the offense. And him is, you know, really just keep investing in the team, you know, in his way. And that how his way is to know the scheme, right? Know his fundamentals, know it cold, and just keep operating that way. And to me, he's really starting to pick up his leadership too, you know, because now he feels comfortable in the offense. You can see him really starting to help coach other guys, encourage other guys, bring guys together, which he's done in the past. And that's a good sign too.
Hey, that's a Matt Eberflus cut about Caleb Williams that I thought had relevance and value. Nice job. I mean, seriously, talking about seeing him as a leader emerging and everything like that, and the way he's discussing that, that sounded like a defensive head coach, but plugged in the right way.
Yeah, you like that, right? That's Eberflus. I should add the context to apologies for the lack of a lead in there, guys. That was Matt Eberflus referencing what Caleb Williams said yesterday, which is his belief that he's on track, that he's ready to go in his progression towards the regular season. And Matt Eberflus agrees. Yeah, you're right, Spies. He put out some really good insight there about what he's seen so far of Caleb Williams in practice and the leadership aspect, which we're going to get to here in a bit as well. But the Bears have felt Caleb Williams' presence. This is not some rookie going through it for the first time and cold feet and different things and concerns and problems that a lot of rookies and especially rookie quarterbacks have. He has put his control on this team. They really feel that kind of leadership presence.
Speaking of the leadership piece of it, we wanted to play this before we get to your next cut because this was it's going viral and it was a pretty interesting reveal from Mullenhaw's conversation with
Kevin Byard.
Kevin Byard.
My guy, I can't believe they got Kevin Byard, but it was really good this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad they did. It added a lot to the conversation. So this is the anecdote that Byard shared with Mullenhaw.
You know, we would all talk about, you know, his abilities and things like that. I think it's the intangibles. So I give you a great example. This was literally just yesterday, last night, we did our walkthrough. And we finished the walkthrough. And, you know, coach, he's talked, and, you know, players usually break down. She's a veteran, breaks down. And Kaylee wanted to jump into the middle to break it down. And usually, like, you know, as a rookie, he's like, oh, what does this guy got to say?
Right.
But no, he honestly, which is like, hey, first thing he says, like, hey, man, we're all grown men here, right? You know, as we're going through training camp, and we all use the hot tub, we all use the cold tub, we all use the bathroom and all the areas. He was like, hey, man, like, we're getting a little too sloppy. You know what I'm saying? We're leaving water bottles and towels and all type of things around, man. Like, these custodians have a lot of square footage they have to cover around this whole building. Let's try to help them out by cleaning up after ourselves. And that's just little things, man, because I just think that when you want to be a great player, you always focus on the little details. You know what I mean? Not even just the details of the play, but the details of everything around you. You know, it's this old video of Ed Reed was kind of talking about the year they won the Super Bowl, about how guys were not picking up their towels after the showers. And he was just like, man, how are we going to be great if we can't pick up our towels? And it's just like little things like that just makes the guy special. Like I said, I think Bears fans are in for a treat for a little while with Caleb Williams for sure.
That's a great anecdote that they got from Byard on the morning show. It reminded me of some of the stuff that Caleb had said about how he was raised in like pre-draft interviews and that appearance on The Pivot and, you know, his mom being a like a preschool teacher and teaching kids like the golden rule, do unto others as that you would want done unto you, and like that sort of thing. So he's a polite kid who's aware of those sort of things and having the confidence and an ability to say that to guys in their early mid 30s and say, hey, clean up around here. It's a nice thing. It's just a nice thing.
I agree. And it reminded me of something I'd heard about a baseball player who fancied himself a leader and yet was not somebody who treated clubhouse attendance well, who treated the clubhouse well and kept things clean and was not really able to lead because a lot of people were like, you know, look at that guy. Look at the way he treats people. So there's doing it and showing you care. And then as a quarterback, they're stepping up and leading with it. That's an awesome anecdote.
So, Emma,
without a doubt,
go ahead. You talk to players about it.
Yeah, I asked Khalil Herbert, you know, I said, hey, man, you've been in that position as the rookie coming in here. It's an awkward spot. What does that say about Caleb Williams that he's speaking up to veteran teammates about this? Here's Khalil Herbert on Caleb Williams.
I mean, just the leadership aspect, you know, he's not going to wait for anybody to say whatever needs to be said. You know, he's going to step up, hit it on the nail, hit it on the head. So just being able to do that as, like you said, a rookie, you know, is great. And, you know, guys respect that. So.
It's cool, man, that a guy like Herbert, who's been here for a little while, can respect it when the younger man comes in and tells him, hey, dude, pick up your towels.
Yeah, no, it,
grab that water bottle.
It's silly, but football is such a detail sport. It's, you know, it's which foot is forward in the shotgun. It's not a four-step drop, it's a three-step drop. Mm-hmm. It's not a 12-yard hitch, it's an 11-yard hitch. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a precise sport that football people have a tendency to care if you have an attention to detail.
And it is a massive operation, which takes an incredible amount of cooperation and teamwork and respect. So you need that from your teammates, you need that from support staff, or else things don't happen the right way.
And then you tell me if you think I'm overstating it, but like, if he was totally overwhelmed by everything, you think he notices the towels and the water bottles?
I mean, yeah, you're right. It says a lot, right? I think it says a ton about the kid. And keep in mind, too, like the context of this is Kevin Byard presented. Like, this wasn't like him speaking to the group. Like, this was him at the end of breaking a huddle. Like, oh, by the way, guys, like, hey, let's look after the custodian staff here. Let's make sure we're doing right by these guys. And it says a lot that, A, that he's noticing those things through everything he's got on his plate as a rookie quarterback, the starter of this team, number one pick, that he's able to look at that stuff, and B, the fact that you got some veterans in that group, man. You talk about Keenan Allen and Mercedes Lewis and some of these offensive linemen, like guys who've been around the league for a number of years, and for 22-year-old kid who's been here for a few months now to say, hey, let's do right by everybody in this building, it says a lot about his character and his natural leadership abilities.
Yeah, man, like we could talk about this kind of stuff for a while. It reminded me of Jason Kelce and the story about the guy who taped his ankles for 13 years.
Yeah.
And then he brought that guy back for his final game and said, hey, man, would you come tape my ankles? And like that guy has had health problems, and Kelce's been supportive, and you know, just like the relationships that you forge with those people in the building can last for a long time, and they can be very, very meaningful, Chris.
No, man, without a doubt. You see it here. I mean, training camp, you got so many former players coming back, and the people they connect with, guys like Tony Medlin, who have been here for years and years, and just random people you pass in the hallway every day. Like, this building is not really separated between the football side and the business side or any department. Like, you walk through the halls here at House Hall, you run into players, you run into executives, you run into custodians, you run into everybody. It really does kind of create that kind of everybody's on the same team mentality. And to your point, Speed, you're right. Those are relationships that last you well beyond your playing career. And it's part of what kind of makes this Bears organization unique, is having that kind of family-like atmosphere.
Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We have any delicious Bears nuggets, Chris?
We got a few. Nate Davis and Kyler Gordon remain sidelined from practice. Unclear what the strain is that's ailing Davis. We've seen him out there present with the team and not practicing. No clear wraps or any kind of limp, anything like that. So we're going to keep an eye on that. Ryan Bates has slid into that right guard spot without Davis. Spotted in attendance today, I caught powerful NFL agent Drew Rosenhaus present at practice. He's representing DJ Moore and notably as well free agent pass rusher Yannick Ngakoue, who still remains unsigned. So always interesting when Rosenhaus drops by. We've seen him a few times over the years at camp. The Bears will board up for Canton tomorrow after practice, and tomorrow night they're going to meet with a number of Bears Hall of Famers, including Devin Hester, Richard Dent, and Jimbo Covert. And lastly, Roschon Johnson, talking about his trip to Canton and the excitement, pointed out his only real knowledge so far of Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium and that setup in Canton. He's playing the Hall of Fame game on Madden, so he's excited for the real thing.
Hey, Governor, let's go, man.
Which one do you think has more intensity? The Hall of Fame game that we're going to see Thursday night, or a highly contested game in Madden?
I mean, it's a good question. Depends where the bigger crowd is. Yeah.
I thought he played the starters on Madden, right? You're not doing it for the Bears. You might as well get him out there, yeah. Run the ones out of Madden. Why not?
There you go.
Exactly. All right, good stuff, Emma. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Thanks, Chris. Do we know why Roschon Johnson is the governor? Was Lyndon Johnson the governor of Texas before he became a vice president? There's no way to know.
You think it's that deep from Eberflus?
I don't know. He's got some kind of Johnson on his mind. There you go. You can cut that one if you'd like.
That was intentional. You knew what you were doing as you did it, but you did it anyway.
Yeah, I was very self-aware on that.
Good for you.
Thanks, buddy.
Good for you. Well, you feel any better about the explanation for the starters? Or are you still just bummed?
It's fine. I do feel like even more assurance in the intellectual choice that they made. I mean, they don't have a 2.5-hour difficult, hardcore practice today. If they're, you know what I mean? They might not have as hard a practice as they're going to have tomorrow, or this, you know, some of the stuff that they're going to do. they don't do that stuff if they're actually going to play a guy on a Thursday night and he might get hit and they have to live with that.
The only part that I liked about it was the very arrogant thing you'd be able to say of Caleb Williams started his career in Canton and ends his career in Canton.
Oh, sure.
I liked that. I liked that. But, you know, take that off the table. I'll settle for ending his, I'll settle for ending his career in Canton. I'll settle. You know, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
You missed him, Tanny. Don't pretend you didn't miss him. You know?
Didn't we all?
I did.
How could you not?
Yeah.
How could you not? Speaking of the Hall of Fame, Mully and Hall will be broadcasting live from the Pro Football Hall of Fame Thursday and Friday, 5:30 to 10. They're going to have big interviews with special guests, reacting to the Hall of Fame game, much more. All presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I love when this station goes on the road for stuff like that. And those guys, that's the perfect show to be there. I thought it sounded awesome with them at Bears camp.
They were great.
I mean, it was really cool. So big week for that show, and a fine show it is.
We have a Cubs lineup with Isak Paredes in the lineup. Cody Bellinger back. Give you the details of that on the other side. But we also have an exclusive Parkinson Spiegel show report, and this is true, from inside one of the clubhouses in town that does not paint a great picture of what's going on. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
In the lineup tonight, is he not? You've got the lineups there in front of you?
No.
It's Tanny's favorite moment of the show over the past few weeks. He loves that. He loves when we have each other's back, you know?
It's a good team effort. I do have the Cubs lineup tonight, though.
Oh, you do? You do?
Yeah.
All right, it's good.
Ian Happ is leading off in left. Michael Bush at first. Seiya Suzuki is your right fielder batting third. At DH, Cody Bellinger.
Activated yesterday and in the lineup at DH tonight.
Your five-hole hitter? Isak Paredes.
Five hole. That's a middle of the order caliber bat, that's for sure.
And an all-star this year. Kind of slumping leading up to the trade, but had an excellent first half. Mm-hmm. Then Nico Dansby, PCA, and Amaya for Justin Steele.
So Nico down at seven.
Six.
At six, excuse me. But been leading off fairly consistently, but has fallen off a little bit. It's interesting to see Happ leading off there. It is Cincinnati where Happ usually go boom.
Yeah, Happ goes boom.
He dominates in Cincinnati for some reason.
But also just those guys being back. The lineup looks better.
Yeah.
Looks a little better.
Do you have the Tampa Bay Rays lineup there?
No.
Good answer. But a texter says, if he's right, Christopher Morel playing second base for Tampa tonight?
Oh, we're just going to trust a random texter?
It
was Morel who texted.
Yeah, I feel like we need to look that up ourselves.
Okay,
right?
Well, I didn't know how long that would take you.
Not out on MLB.com yet.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, see? We'll find it.
All right, well, maybe not. So we'll find it.
We'll see. See if that texter is in fact correct or spreading fake news through Matt Spiegel as his mouthpiece. But it'd be a weird thing to lie about on a text
line. I'm going to text Spiegs. He's going to say it. Then somebody's going to think it between then and when MLB.com puts it out there.
All right, we'll find it. Yeah. We'll find it. But what are you hearing about the White Sox clubhouse?
Heard this just after the All-Star break. And then was able to get some confirmation via our guy, Shane Reardon. And Shane will hop on and get what his confirmation, it was earlier in a moment. But I had heard that Pedro Grifol, the first game back after the All-Star break, addressed the team and said to them that they could be the worst team ever in baseball. And if they went down as the worst team ever in baseball with the worst record, that they would be remembered, that the players would be remembered as the guys who were responsible for being the worst team ever in baseball. Now, I was told he clearly did this in trying to motivate his players. And he continues to mandate BP every day, running every day. And some of those things are things that don't happen this time of the year and kind of the dog days of the season a little bit. But several of the veterans in that White Sox clubhouse were angered by the way that Pedro talked to them about this and trying to put it on them. And some of the veterans tried to talk to Pedro about how, look, this is not how we should be going about things at this point of the year. And you're being a little hard on us. And that those conversations went just okay, is what I was told. So that's the report that I had, and then asked for some help from our team, from Shane Reardon, who was able to confirm this report.
Yeah, I talked to somebody within the clubhouse, and my favorite part of the interaction, and I don't think this is given up too much, I'm definitely not going to give up a name, obviously, but I sent him information today, and he was like, LOL, before I answer, I got to know how you found this out. So the White Sox clubhouse, without a doubt, is fractured, without a doubt. And I told him, you know, I'm not going to tell you who told us, that kind of thing. But he said, but yes, that is all correct. It's been really tough in there. Pedro is a really good guy, just not the man for the job.
So I think that's a really important and clear-headed confirmation to get. Because this is not about burying Pedro Grifol deeper. He's just like, he's trying to motivate a team that is awful. And he's talking to a very fractured and weird bunch, a lot of whom are now gone. Paul DeJong got traded about, what, 35 minutes ago? Something like that. So now he's gone, in addition to everyone else who has been traded. We'll see what happens in the next hour and 18 minutes. Tommy Pham is gone. You know, Eric Fetty is gone. Michael Kopech is gone. But this is a really rotten situation with a manager who is way, way out of his depth. And you could argue a GM who's also out of his depth. So it's just, it's extra details into a very ugly situation in a baseball organization.
They're more than 50 games under 500, right? None of this should come as a surprise to anyone. It's a hell of a tact to take. First game back from the All-Star break. If this goes down as the worst team ever, that'll be on you and not us. Like that type of messaging. I would imagine a lot of people hear that as, oh, boo-hoo, millionaire baseball player said mandatory BP and you got to run and that sort of thing. Like, I don't think this is the worst. This isn't that big of a deal.
No.
Honestly.
Not a huge deal, no.
But
it sheds a little more light on how ugly it all
is. Shane's player source, who was at the meeting, confirming it immediately and just being like, we like the guy, and you know, saying it, you know, and I don't even know if it was player or clubhouse or team or whoever, however he characterized the source, but like the guy who heard the meeting and was like, that is absolutely what happened, and it's not a good, he's not the man for the job. It's like, oh, well.
Decent guy.
Decent guy overhired.
Which is what we know about Pedro Grifol. Like, the hour that I got with him when I was still doing that Bourbon and a Buddy podcast, Pedro was awesome. And he said things, and he talked about how much he loves his family and food and peanut butter, chasing it with orange juice, and, like, his childhood watching Miami baseball. Like, he is a good dude put in a position that he was never going to succeed unless the guys above him, meaning Jerry, spent the damn money to give him players that could actually win baseball games.
You know what's hard to remember, frankly, is that last year they were supposed to contend at the beginning of the year. He was brought in to fix the clubhouse, fix the vibe, fix the mix. And what do they start? 7-21 last year. 7-21, ending up with a run differential of -200. But Pedro Grifol thought he was coming in to win. And the whole thing was a...
How's that going?
Oh, my God. A debacle last year. And then this thing this year, which is just... It's not even pro baseball, what we're watching. It's the lowest form of Major League Baseball that any of us have seen in quite a while. And I think they will break the record for the most losses in a 162-game season. I think that's coming.
You know what sucks most, Speaks? From stuff that I'm hearing in the clubhouse this year compared to the last few, this is a healthy clubhouse. The players in the clubhouse have a healthy rapport. These are guys who are happy to be in the major leagues. They like each other. They have a good time. They love playing baseball amidst all of this adversity. It's just not enough. It's not enough.
Well, and here's the thing, too. Like, in terms of that messaging, I don't even think Pedro's that wrong. Like, I don't think, like, who's the best manager in the history of baseball? And then give him the next four best managers in the history of baseball as his coaches on his staff. This team wins more games than they've won this year, but not many. Like, there's no manager or coaching situation that would take this 27-82 team and make them a wild card contender.
No, there isn't.
It is a poor collection of talent intentional.
And let's think about, like, him not being that wrong in terms of the players who are remembered. I still remember to this day that Don Zimmer was the starting third baseman of the 1962 Mets. Never forgotten that.
Yeah.
I remember that Casey Stengel was, like, sleepwalking his way through the season and that he was the manager in, like, a weird promotional thing. But I, you know, like, in terms of how we are going to remember this thing, Grifol or some of these players, I mean, who the hell knows? Everybody's responsible for this toxic mix here.
Yeah.
It's a really, really bad mix.
And we'll see if by 5 o'clock if Garrett Crochet gets traded or not. Because today Nightingale said he still expects him to get traded, but he, with this coming out, however it came out, about his request for a contract extension.
You know, a bit hurtful.
He hurt Chris Getz's delicate sensibilities and his feelings. Mm-hmm. That's going to screw the White Sox in terms of getting a haul. Because you're seeing what starting pitchers are getting on this trade market. It is a seller's market. And if they can't trade him, that is going to really, really put them at risk.
A trade deadline power play that I don't believe has much precedent. There was an offseason power play from Tyler Glasnow that teams knew that if they traded for him, they were going to have to extend him, and the Dodgers did.
Yeah.
There were things in Josh Hader's contract that he demanded as a free agent, but to, at the trade deadline, have your people put it out there the way that Crochet did, much like a football player can do, and much like NBA players do all the freaking time, is an interesting thing, and Chris Getz was surprised by it. And hurt.
You know, a bit hurtful.
I predicted that he'd be pissed about it. I did not predict that he would share it publicly that he was hurt. Because I think that sharing it publicly makes you look weak. And Crochet has every right to ask what he's asking for. And I actually do think it's smart to do it on the front end rather than the back end. Because if you get traded to the Orioles and then you say, oh, and by the way, I don't want to pitch in October without a contract extension, you have no leverage. Like, maybe he doesn't want to be a White Sox, and this hurts his chances of getting out of here, but you have no leverage, and then what are you going to do? Piss off your new fan base and your new teammates and your new org?
No.
And your first day in Baltimore, be like, hey, I actually am not going to pitch for you?
That's the pressure that they usually use, and Nightingale wrote it the other day. Like, what's Garrett Crochet going to show up in L.A. and not play, and Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts are going to be staring him in the face in the clubhouse?
It's not realistic.
Yeah.
So
that's why he tried to put it out there. I get that, but I thought Getz, like, calling it hurtful and being kind of wishy-washy about it is not a good look for a GM. I couldn't do that job, Danny, because I'm too emotional and I'm too passionate and I care about the relationships too much. I couldn't do that job. You got to be dispassionate and you got to be a badass. And if anything, fire back. If Crochet pissed you off, then say, yeah, it's very unconventional what he did. I'm really not happy about it. If you're going to talk about it, make it clear you're not happy about it. Hurtful? Call Garrett on the side. I mean, get that stuff out of the dugout, frankly.
Yeah, it was an odd tact, and it's one of the biggest stories in all of baseball on whether or not he'll be traded in the next 80 minutes, because he was absolutely going to get traded. And now that seems to be very much in doubt. We've got a ton of Bears to get to. The deadline's at 5. We'll obviously be bringing you any breaking news that comes as we go through that. Trade deadline coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. But there was a take on this station earlier today that it just needs more run. Next on The Score.
He's in the lineup tonight and obviously looking forward to playing alongside of him.
You can have a friend. Don't rub it in my face.
Okay. Whenever Dustin makes the show, I just feel like it picks up the mood around here a little bit.
Yeah, it really makes a lot of us happy in different ways.
Yeah.
For me, it's mostly about wardrobe. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It just makes me happy.
For me, it's about the impression and the logically consistent, rational sports takes.
I loved how angry he was at Craig Council's weird hoodie with no sleeves.
Yeah.
When he's a guy who wears vests all the time.
Which have no sleeves.
Danny, that checks out. They have no sleeves.
Craig's been going back and forth. He's been doing the hoodies with no sleeves. Then he's been going full uniform.
Full uniform, I know. Well, I like that look.
A little superstition.
A short sleeve hoodie?
Short sleeve hoodie?
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
When the voice climbs, that's the best.
So good. So good. But
so does he have a take on Isak Paredes, who's now here and in the lineup?
He's here in the lineup tonight. But not last night, Speaks.
Dustin will defiantly call him Isaac all season. He's like, it's spelled like Isaac.
Oh, good. That's healthy. Let's hear it.
Planes, trains, and automobiles, and add air rickets to all of this. So when the trade was made yesterday during this segment, we felt the Cubs were better today than they were the day before by this move, especially on offense and hopefully on defense. And he can't get here. It wasn't a day game. It was an afternoon game. The Rays game was the first game that was done on Sunday. The first game that was over. He was going from Tampa to Cincinnati. It's not that far. I bet there were 50 flights between Tampa and Cincinnati from the time that trade happened. And then you activate Bellinger and you don't have him DH when this guy's not there. Then did they play two guys short last night? One run. So what are they doing? So this is all about the future. So basically what they said is that the rest of these games don't count. You talk about, Mully, the Sox fans being upset for having to put through all of this. Cub fans should be if you were a Cub fan that went to Cincinnati to go see this game.
What are you doing with your life?
What a joke.
Come on.
What an absolute joke. They better both be in the lineup.
Do you have any idea why he didn't make it to Cincinnati? Do you know why he didn't make it to Cincinnati? If you don't, then you are so unfair because you have no idea why he didn't get there.
So what are you thinking?
I don't know.
Okay, then why was it? Okay, so he's not there.
You're entitled. They give you 72 hours to get to your new team for a reason. You guys want these guys to be baseball robots. I will not show emotion. I will not express regret. I will not express disappointment. I am going to my next team.
Would he have played for the Rays yesterday?
Yeah, because that was the team that he belonged to.
Okay,
jobs. You're changing cities. You're changing everything about your professional reality. And I get it. Some guys are able to do it seamlessly. We know nothing about this guy except for how to pronounce his name.
Maybe.
All right?
Maybe.
That's on a good day. That's before 7 o'clock. So,
wait a minute. So he's not in the lineup. He's not available. Then why in the world is Bellinger not playing? Explain that to me.
That's a different story.
Well, it's part of the question.
Okay, well, that's part of the question. Well, if you let me finish the first answer, I'll get to the second one.
I wasn't done yet.
Go ahead. The floor is yours.
No, I'm done now.
Parking lot is yours.
That was good.
I'll sit here and wait for George McCaskey to scooter by again.
Your dime, your parking lot.
I'm not bothered.
I'm not going to address this every single day.
Come on, guys. I'm not done yet.
David wanted another.
Hall's going to lose his mind. I mean, he's just so nice and so kind and so level-headed and rational.
Oh, God.
He's just going to blow a gasket
that
one day.
That is phenomenal. Only do you have any idea why he's not there? No! No, I don't!
I'm angry about it.
No, I have not. I don't know. Oh, God, it's fabulous.
Hey, I appreciate it from Dustin. I'm part of that school. Let your emotions act first.
We know.
I'm absolutely a part of that school.
Only two airlines fly nonstop from, he's like, I'm 50 flights a day from Tampa to Cincinnati.
Yeah, dude, you know that pipeline. You never know where Ryan Port's got to go.
Delta and Frontier are the only two airlines that fly nonstop from Tampa to Cincinnati. 50 flights a day.
And Delta's not been having a great time of late.
Yeah, right. And the other is a budget airline. Like, you really think that there are 50 nonstop flights a day?
It's clear that Frontier, budget airline. I've had a lot of great experiences on Frontier. I love Frontier.
Is that it takes off
and lands.
Paredes, I don't believe, wanted to pay the bag fees. didn't want to pay those.
50 flights a day from Tampa to Cincinnati. He just thinks that we've got...
Who the hell knows, man? You're getting traded. Your life is getting completely upended after you've been somewhere for several years. If you need to go back to your house to get a bag, you know, I understand.
He thinks 10,000 people a day need to go from Tampa Bay to Cincinnati. Nonstop. That's so ridiculous.
Now, granted, I don't have any idea how many flights actually usually go from one city to another.
Not that. I mean, those are not big cities.
Mm. How about St. Pete? Does St. Pete have its own airport? St. Pete to Cleveland. Can you look that one up, please?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, God.
I think St. Pete's an island, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. So yeah. It's probably the same airport.
Yeah, you're saying? Yeah, you have to go across the bridge.
That's why they say Tampa, St. Pete together. Yeah. That's fair.
St. Pete's an island.
Yeah, that's fair.
There's probably like 50 nonstop flights a day from Chicago to New York.
Right.
Like on all the airlines, all the different airports. It's Tampa and Cincinnati.
Oh, man.
It's ridiculous.
That is phenomenal. Tanny, is that food to you? What is that? Is it oxygen?
Yeah. So like, you know, I'm out walking that, you know, early in the morning like that, listening to the morning show, and it's just sun is out, and it's just a great way to start your day with the pick six. I never miss it.
Guys at football camp, you can feel their energy at football camp.
Yeah. By the way, I did look it up. There was one famous flight from Little St. James to anywhere you want to go. That was a jet situation there.
It was a private plane.
Yeah. Very PJ. Yeah. But I think
secret list.
I was most happy for Mully there in that segment, who's just letting Dustin cook. I mean, he's got to be thrilled. They were out and about. Mully was in his element at Bears training camp.
Yeah, he sounded really happy.
But he's just letting Dustin and David go after each other. Mm. I was most happy for him. It's so enjoyable every day.
That's great. Awesome.
A couple things on the trade deadline before I know we're going to heavy Bears here at the top of the next hour. The San Diego Padres have made an incredibly aggressive trade with the Marlins for Tanner Scott and another reliever, giving up three of their top five prospects that remained. AJ Preller's a freaking madman. And I just put $20 on the Padres to win the World Series just for fun at +3,000 because they have a crazy bullpen now with a really interesting mix of different looks and different styles, etc. And the White Sox, if anybody did not hear, traded away Paul DeJong to the Kansas City Royals. 18 homers on the year for Paul DeJong. He will probably back up Bobby Witt Jr., would you think? He's not going to start over Bobby Witt Jr., right?
I don't think so.
Bobby Witt, 13 for his last 16 against the White Sox.
Well, they had the video tribute ready tonight. That's what I'd like to know. A lot of pressure with the quick turnaround.
Paul DeJong, one of those guys who gets to go from one dugout to the other.
Yeah, walk right across.
Just walk right across the way. Ask a clubby to go back and get his stuff, maybe. Just amazing. So DeJong is a Kansas City Royal in exchange for a young right-handed pitcher who's actually a little old for the level that he's at, a kid named Gerald Rosado.
You're for hurt? DeJong. Is he already hurt?
not yet. But one of the guys you got yesterday.
Hey, I didn't get anybody.
One of the guys that Chris Getz got from the Dodgers, one of the guys that Getz got, has a stress fracture in his tibia and is out until next spring training already.
It wouldn't surprise me if Paul DeJong plays third base over Michael Garcia. Wouldn't surprise me if they start him there.
Yeah, Paul DeJong's been playing some third base of late for the White Sox.
Split some time at second base with Michael Massey, maybe. Palos Park native, local product.
DeJong will play. He's got some power. He knew he was going to get
traded.
The guy's
hitting bombs. Like, mm-hmm. And he's a veteran. He's going to help a playoff team. The Royals, though, I don't think are a playoff team. They're having a good year, but they're not a playoff team.
We are able to confirm that, Texter. By the way, Christopher Morel is playing second base for Tampa tonight.
In the three hole.
There you go. Batting third at second base for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Agree. I mean, I agree that it's happening. I don't agree that they should do it.
It's going to be fascinating to see what Tampa thinks of him.
It'll be a fun career to watch.
It really will. A fun guy.
I'm bummed that he's not a Cub. Like, I know that Paredes right now is a better player, but
I get it.
I'm bummed that he's not a Cub.
You're not alone.
I know. How Hard Knocks is selling the Bears to the nation. We got our first glimpse today, and it's actually pretty instructive. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.